I thought tonight Revelation 13 would be the appropriate chapter. John writes, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, and his seat, and great authority." Now, we are not left alone in wondering what the beast is, because in Daniel chapter 7, four successive beasts rise out of the sea. And in the book of Daniel, we see them identified as four successive nations led by various men. Babylon, headed by Nebuchadnezzar. And then the Persian Empire was the next beast. And then following that, the Greek Empire. And then following that, the Roman Empire. And that fourth beast of Daniel 7 somehow last until the very end. And now that fits history, Daniel 7, because the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar were destroyed by the Persians about the year 538 B.C. The Persian Empire was destroyed by the Greeks 336 to 323, when this young boy, Alexander the Great, starting when he was 21 years old, in 13 years conquered the world. And then the Roman Empire gradually overtook the Greek Empire and were supreme approximately in the year 200 before Christ. But no one ever really conquered the Roman Empire. That is, one nation that just took it and replaced it. But rather, all sorts of enemies attacked the Roman Empire, and it was cracked and broken and divided and split and cracked and broken until it made what we have modern Europe. But the Roman Empire was basically the last world empire. And Hitler did not succeed in taking the world. Stalin did not succeed. No one has really succeeded. And the Roman Empire, at least to the extent of Western civilization and Western law, lives with us today. And that's the picture we see in Daniel chapter 7. So following that motif, the beast here would seem to be an empire, and we will see that it is the final world empire of the Antichrist. But as we look through the characteristics of this beast, we see that he's essentially the same as the fourth beast of Daniel, the Roman Empire. Hence, some people like to use the expression, the revived Roman Empire. The one that lasts until the end. Now, in the Daniel beast, the Babylonians were taken by the Persians, but the Persians not only took Babylon, they took more territory. The Greeks not only took Persia, but they took more territory. The Romans not only took Greece, but they took more territory. And so it very well may be that the Roman Empire living at the end times might take yet more territory. Now, it's hard to identify exactly what countries will be part of this beast, but we'll look into it. But now, I think we will also see that the beast represents the man, the Antichrist, just as in Daniel 7 and in Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, the head of gold, if you remember, was Babylon, but it also was Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, "Thou, O king, you are the head of gold." And so one man was sort of the mind of the empire. And so it would seem in the end times, one man will be the mind of the world empire. And if it be the Roman Empire revived, then it would seem to center in Europe. And that man will be called the Antichrist. Now, Years ago, people thought, well, that's absurd. Europe is fragmented into so many pieces. How will they ever get together? How could this fourth beast of Daniel, representing the Roman Empire, somehow exist in the end time and be pictured in Revelation 13? Because essentially, they're the same beast. Well, suddenly, to our shock, we are living in striking days. And in our lifetime, we see Europe uniting. Everywhere you go in Europe, you see in the license plates and in the back trunks, the UE symbol of United Europe. The common market now has 10 nations. So what at one time, a few years ago, seemed insane, some sort of Roman Empire or European coalition, in our lifetime, we see it gathering together. Of course, we don't know how close we are to the end. You see, Revelation 13 is in the tribulation period. The rapture might be tonight. And then the nations of Europe will be the nations as we know them. But if the rapture is not a century from now, then all sorts of countries might break and join and change and glue together. We don't know. But now this empire has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now the horns in Daniel 7 were kings. And in Revelation we see the beast here, well, the 10 horns also make 10 kings. Because we can look in Revelation 17. And in Revelation 17, in verse 12 it says, "And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. In other words, God is representing the end time empire in a vicious animal, because the end time empire will be vicious. It will be a government that will gnaw and chew and devour people. While Jesus Christ comes as the Lamb, representing innocence and purity and the sacrifice of God, the beast, the Antichrist and his empire comes as a, and the Greek word is therion, which means a vicious, rapacious beast. A wild beast, a vicious beast, a monster. And in Revelation 17:12, it says, "The 10 horns on the beast, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. So now we know that these 10 horns on the animal, they don't represent horns, they represent kings. Just like Daniel 7, that shows us that our interpretation, just like Daniel 7, is on firm ground, because God doesn't leave us to guess on this point. The 10 horns are 10 kings. Now, one might be called a premier. Another might be called the head of a junta. Another might be called king. Another might be called president. But nevertheless, the ruler, the word king, represents the 10 rulers of 10 nations that'll be part of the centrality of this empire of the end time. Now, it doesn't name them. Therefore, it's all right for us to name them, but we have to realize that when we name them, we're guessing. And our guesses might be correct, they might be wildly off. So I might guess that one horn is England and one horn is Germany. And if the Lord tarries, Germany will unite. We might say one horn is France. One horn, I would guess, will be Scandinavia, united. One horn is Greece. One horn is Italy. And we can guess 4 more horns. One horn might be Palestine, Israel. We have to guess. As we consider the extent of the ancient Roman Empire, some people say the United States will surely be one horn. Maybe they're right, maybe they're not. Many guess the United States will join the common market. Maybe that's right, maybe it's wrong. It's not wrong to guess it, but we want to realize that the Bible doesn't identify the 10 horns, except it does tell us they will be 10 rulers, 10 heads of the nation. Now in Revelation 17:12, it further says, these 10 kings on the beast. Now the beast is the major character of the book of Revelation, except for only the Lord Jesus Christ. The two major characters in the book of Revelation are Jesus and the beast. Now in Revelation 17:12, it says, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. They haven't received a kingdom as yet, but they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, a short time. When the beast comes in its final form, they will be the kings. But when John wrote, they were not kings at that time. Now, Irenaeus was an ancient writer, and Irenaeus traveled with Polycarp, who traveled with the Apostle John. And Irenaeus told us how Polycarp, who traveled with John, related that John saw the vision of the book of Revelation when he was exiled on Patmos, an island out in the Mediterranean, at the end of Domitian's reign, which would be 95 or 96 A.D., so John, writing around 95 or 96 A.D., at the end of the first century, writing the book of Revelation, says these 10 kings have not yet received their kingdom. Revelation 17:12. That means the 10 kings weren't Roman kings of the first century. They weren't Nero and Domitian or Caligula and Claudius and any of the others. The Bible's plain. They haven't received the kingdom yet. They are future to that first century. And as we look through the centuries, we don't see any fulfillment of them yet. But rather, we look forward to the tribulation period. And now, who are the 10 kings? Well, if Christ is going to come soon, they might be alive now. But now, the beast had 7 heads. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, the leopard that represents the Greek Empire, because the Greek Empire conquered everything so quickly, it was pictured as a leopard. The leopard had 4 heads. And we can look back into the history of Greece, and what we see is that the Grecian Empire, as soon as it conquered, Alexander conquered the world in 13 years. And he died in 323 before Christ. He conquered Palestine. Because this young boy conquered, starting when he was 21, dying in Babylon when he was 33, because he conquered the world and made the whole world Greek, the New Testament is written in Greek. In Daniel 7, the Greek beast had 4 heads. And after Alexander the Great conquered the world, his 4 generals divided the world in 4 sections, and each ruled a section. Now, that is the simple story. Actually, they fought one another. None of them were settled as human beings. None of them were settled for a quarter of the pie. Each one of them wanted a third or a half of the pie, so they kept fighting one another, and their sons would fight one another. But essentially, Greece was divided into 4 sections, and Daniel 7 represents it as 4 heads. That beast, the Greek beast, had 4 heads, and what John saw here, a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. Now that's really a dream. But now, if the beast with 4 heads represented the 4 parts of the empire, what does the beast here in Revelation 13 represent with 7 heads? It would seem 7 parts of the empire. Now, in the book of Revelation, 7 is used in a symbolic way. And I think what God is telling us, that this final world empire will have 7 heads, or world influence and world control. And it is interesting, and I suppose providentially God planned it this way and allowed it, that all the atlases today give us how many continents? 7. seven continents in all the atlases, and they're certainly not necessarily prophecy students making things work out. I don't know, Ryan McNally or Hammond, maybe they're wonderful Christians, but I doubt if they're naming the continents for the sake of Revelation. And so what the picture seems to be then is in the end time, and now we'll just say the sand of the sea. John sees the animal coming up out of the water, and in Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, it says, "The waters that you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." The waters represent the world like waves. You know, the waves rise up and hit each other and then fade down. A wave comes up and then goes down. And that's how nations come. Nations come up, they get strong, then they get weak and they have a war and then they fade down. And one nation gets strong and another nation gets strong. Up and down like waves. Well, that's what's represented. And I think what we have, and now don't be alarmed again, somebody will say, well, we've been 20 minutes and we've only covered verse 1. With 18 verses, one-third of an hour a verse, that's 6 hours. That gives us 5 hours and 40 more minutes. Nope. Half the message is just identifying the beast. That's really the main thing. It's one of the great things of the book of Revelation, just knowing who the beast is. Then the details flow in place easily. But what we see is the beast then is a final world empire that rises up out of the struggle of the nations. It's going to be some sort of confederation of a revived Roman Empire with 10 nations and 10 rulers, and it'll have world influence. Now, here's my guess. My guess is the world influence will be through communism. And my guess is, if the Lord tarries, that the center of world communism is going to shift from Russia to Europe. And my guess is that Europe will be communistic before this generation leaves the scene, if the Lord tarries. Now, that's my guess, and while we agree with what the Bible says, feel free to reject my guess entirely, and your guess is as good as my guess. But nevertheless, that's my guess. And I think we're drifting that way, and I think we're going to see a communist Europe, but we'll have to see, because it doesn't say. We don't know the names of the 10 horns. We'll have to see. But now, upon the heads were the name blasphemy. This is going to be an antichrist empire that will not hesitate to blaspheme, speak against God. The Greek word phemi is to speak, and blasphemy means to speak against God. And now, what is behind this world empire? The dragon, Satan. Satan is behind this world empire. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. And I saw, verse 3, one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, the beast seems to be, like Nebuchadnezzar was Babylon and Daniel, the beast seems to be a person and an empire. Because in Revelation 19... when Jesus comes again, he kills the armies of the beast, but he takes that one individual, the Antichrist, and that other individual, the false prophet, and he throws these two people into the lake of fire. So you see, the beast seems to be an empire and a man rolled into one, just like Stalin was Russia. Some people are worried about the president getting too powerful, that one man can make the decisions for America. Perhaps the best illustration of a man and an empire being one would be by Goebbels' introduction, as far as I can gather it. Goebbels' introduction to Hitler at a Nuremberg rally where there were about 125,000 people. They said about 25,000 flag bearers in a Nazi party worker gathering in the late 30s. Goebbels is reputed to have introduced Hitler with these words: "Deutschland ist der Führer, und der Führer ist Deutschland." And 125,000 people went, they screamed. What's that mean? Deutschland is Der Führer, and Der Führer is Deutschland. Well, Deutschland is the word for Germany. Germany is the Führer. The Führer is the leader. Hitler became chancellor through a lot of political pressure, and finally he got Hindenburg, who was the president, out, and they changed the whole constitution so that Adolf Hitler could occupy both the positions of chancellor and president. And they called him the Führer, or the leader. So he changed the constitution so he could sort of be president, vice president, secretary of state, and secretary of defense, all rolled up in one big office, chancellor and president. And they called him the leader, the Führer. So the saying is, Germany is Hitler, and Hitler is Germany. That's what that saying was. And the people stampeded in wild applause. They wanted it that way. They were glorifying in Hitler's Third Reich. Now, not good Germans, and we don't blame the Germans for this, but the Nazi Party and all the paid functionaries and the people frightened. But Hitler was Germany. And if Hitler said attack, they attacked. If Hitler said we don't attack, we didn't attack. Hitler was Germany. And the Antichrist will be this final world empire. Now, somehow, notice in Revelation 13, he dies and lives again, or one head. Whether this will be a nation or a section of a nation or a man, it's hard to put together till it happens. See, prophecy, you know, you can't please everybody in prophecy. One person will hear and say, well, he's too cautious. Another will say, well, he's wild with guessing. You see, prophecy isn't like preaching the gospel. That happened, and we can assert it. And Jesus died for our sins, and if anyone does not accept Jesus, he's lost. But if we believe in Jesus, we're saved and forgiven. We can be dogmatic about that. We're dogmatic about this, but the details, we don't know for sure till it happens. In some prophecies, Jesus said, the day will declare it. Meaning when it happens, you'll understand it. The day will declare it. And that's when we'll know for sure. But now, notice there's sort of a mockery of the Trinity in this chapter. And I think the more you study that, the more you will see this is true, that it's not just my invention. The dragon is Satan. He is the false father. He's behind it all. The beast is the Antichrist. He comes to the earth and asks to be made the savior of the world. And the world follows him. And the false Holy Ghost will be the false prophet, the second beast, who we'll see in a few seconds. And now, just as Christ died and lived again, it says the false Christ dies and lives again. And somehow the head of the beast, one of the heads, my guess is that this will be the Antichrist. As a man heading one of the nations, he will die and live again. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. That means he died. And he lived again. How can that be? I don't know. But it will be somehow. Here's a guess. Here's a guess how it could be. There's a psionic society now, or cryonic society. And Dr. Bedford was their leader. Dr. Bedford, I think he was about 75. He was a professor in the University of Arizona, and he died. As soon as he was died, he was packed in ice. The blood was drained from his veins and arteries, and a neutral kind of glycol solution was put in to sort of fill up the spaces, and then he was frozen to as close as they could get it to absolute zero. Then he was put in a cryonic capsule or a cold capsule, which is a big thermos bottle casket, frozen, buried, and kept as cold as possible near absolute zero. And the Cryonic Society plan in 75 years, and I think 4 years are up already, so in 71 more years, to slowly raise the temperature of good old Dr. Bedford, when they get it near normal, to take out the fluid and put in blood, same type, then to give him an electric shock and heart massage, and the dream and the plan is that Dr. Bedford will live again, and he'll tell everybody of the next century what it was like to live in this century. Now, that sounds wild, but that's true. He is right now in that big thermos bottle, and they're taking care of him, and he's cold, and he's waiting. Now, I don't know. You can discuss with the pastor next week where his soul is now. We don't know that it's going to work, and the Lord may come before this ever gets, but I think there's about 16 people like that now. Now, Dr. Bedford had a fortune. So if you're planning this, it takes quite a bit of money for the care. But say, you know what? We're better off trusting in Jesus and dying and being buried than having multi-million dollars and getting our friends to freezes and having the next generation through a bank trust pay people to go through all this, and maybe we can live 10 more years, 20 more years, 30 more years, even if it's 1,000 years. You know, if Cleopatra could have lived 1,500 years, she'd already be dead 500 years already. No, it's better to have Jesus than a thermos bottle. But you know, it's very serious. Now, suppose Antichrist gets stabbed and they quickly have the sense to put him in ice. And they pronounce him dead, his heart stops, he's a dead man, but they take him to the nearest hospital, they get the best surgeons, while he's cold, they work on him, they sew him up, they fix him, they raise his temperature, they give him an electric shock, and he lives again. That is theoretically possible. That may happen in our lifetime. If something like that happened to John F. Kennedy, and I'm not comparing him for 1 minute with the Antichrist, God forbid. He certainly had many fine qualities. But if something happened like that, imagine the aura of mystery and majesty about that man that was so admirable anyway. Well, something's going to happen because it says, all the world, verse 3, wondered after the beast. The whole world is going to marvel. That's the word. They'll marvel. They'll wonder after the beast. Tell my daughter there's going to be a space shot. Well, we're busy playing hopscotch. It doesn't excite you anymore. We're so familiar with the news. There's an earthquake somewhere. 5,000 are killed. People, you know, just say, well, hand me the butter for my toast. Where's the ketchup? Nothing excites people anymore, but something's going to happen with the Antichrist that the whole world will marvel. And that fits Jesus saying that Paul saying there'd be delusions, 2 Thessalonians 2. Jesus saying if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Everything's going to sound pretty convincing. Well, verse 4, they worship the dragon, which gives power to the beast. If you worship Jesus, you worship God. If you worship the Antichrist, you're worshiping Satan, the one behind him. And they worship the beast, and they all say, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You see, the Antichrist empire will be strong militarily. And everybody will say, who can make war with the Antichrist? Who wants to start with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. After, for those who understand, the abomination of desolation, he has power for 3.5 years. And he opened up his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. He'll curse God. And his tabernacle, he'll curse heaven. And those that dwell in heaven, he'll curse the saints. Now that's sort of what Khrushchev did, you know. He said, well, we've sent Sputnik around and we looked at the pictures. We couldn't see God up in heaven. The Antichrist will make fun of God. He'll make fun of Jesus. He'll make fun of heaven and say, there is no heaven. There is no tabernacle of God. Those that dwell in heaven, he'll say they're gone. There's nobody up in heaven. That's an imagination. That's what the Antichrist will do. He'll say, heaven's on earth. And don't let anybody tell you about social change up in the next world. And verse 7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. He'll persecute anybody turning to Jesus. We usually call this group the tribulation saints. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He'll be a world power. Perhaps he'll be elected Secretary General of the UN. That's my guess. I don't know. Doesn't say. Perhaps he will curse the UN and have no part of it, and everybody will quit the UN. We don't know. But my guess is he's going to be elected Secretary General of the UN. But that's a guess. That might be completely wrong. But in any case, somehow he's going to be the world leader. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Everybody, except those turning to Jesus, will say he's the man for the day. We need a strong man. The earth's desperate. There's wars and famines. And you know, when there's wild times, you need a strong hand. But you need the right strong hand. You know, if the kids are getting out of order, you need a strong dad. But you don't need a dad with a lead pipe that breaks the skull of any child that talks out of turn. You know, you can be too strong, or you can be vicious too. If any man hear, let him hear. So God says, well, if we can understand this, this is the way it'll be. Verse 10, let's go on to verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now the first beast came out of the sea, which Revelation 17:15 showed was the nations. That seems to be the empire and man that comes out of the struggle for political power. The second beast seems to be one that comes out of the land, perhaps Palestine. It's hard to know. We don't know. But perhaps it means out of the land, out of Palestine. We'll have to see what happens in that day, though I don't think we'll be around, but somebody will see. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Well, I don't know, two horns. Could this be a little empire with two kings? But it seems like he's a man. Because in Revelation 19, he's thrown into the lake of fire, as a person would be, not an empire. So my suggestion would be that he's some religious ruler that has a political crown and a religious crown. Maybe he'll be the Pope. Maybe he'll be the head of the World Council of Churches, and at the same time have a political office. And today we see the Protestants, the Catholics, the Jewish, and all the groups in a bond of modernism, all saying Jesus was a swell fellow, but not God, and he didn't die for anybody's sins, but they can all agree, and he didn't really rise again from the dead, and he wasn't born of a virgin, but they can all agree, but beside all that, he was a swell fellow. Well, they're all getting together. Now, this person is the false Holy Ghost. Verse 12, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell thereon to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Notice in verse 12 how this imitates the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in power after Christ died and rose again. This one comes in power after the beast dies and the head lives again. The Holy Spirit causes everyone to worship whom? Christ. He shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me, said Jesus. Well, the second beast, the false prophet, he does not speak of himself. He glorifies the beast. He glorifies the dead and risen Antichrist. He is the false Holy Spirit. And he doth great wonders. And remember how the Holy Spirit came in power and majesty. And at Pentecost, they saw signs. And there was great signs in the early church. Well, the false Holy Spirit will come in power and do signs. Verse 14, and he deceives those that dwell on earth by the means of the signs, the miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak and cause them as many as they as would not worship his image of the beast should be killed. Now we just have this item and one more item, then we're going to close for the night. But let me just give a suggestion what this image of the beast might be. Here's a guess. Nobody could hardly have guessed it too many years ago. Maybe it's wrong, but at least it's a suggestion of how this might be. But you take your children to Disneyland in California, and you can see the Living Lincoln. And everybody sits down in an auditorium about the size of this church, and there's Abe Lincoln in the chair. But now we know Abe Lincoln, he's gone on. We trust he's with the Lord. But all the little children, they don't understand that. Some of the real little ones. And anyway, suddenly as the lights dim, Lincoln gets up. He's a computerized, multi-million dollar, mechanical man, but he has a wax face, so he looks pretty real. But underneath are springs and pistons and metal pulleys and wheels and electrical devices that are fantastic. And underneath there's a room of computers. And it's computerized so that whenever Lincoln says something that begins with a B, those jaw muscles tighten up and the mechanical man goes, buh, makes a B shape with his mouth. And when the mechanical man reads a speech that goes, oh, the mouth opens and arches and widens into an oval. And when he says S, the teeth go together and the lips part, showing the teeth. And so the children, and in fact the children, even I, you'd swear that you're with Lincoln, and it's beautiful because you hear the recorded voice, and you see the lips move, and he even makes gestures. He lifts his hand, and when it's all over, you are transfixed, and I just felt like I've been there with Lincoln, and I heard Lincoln speak, and then he sits down in the chair and says, thanks, folks, goodbye. And you say, it's as good as being with Lincoln. My guess is the Antichrist is going to build, and you know, explain it to the little children, you can't. You say it wasn't real, they'll say it was real, Daddy. You can't explain it. And you know what? My guess is that this is how it's going to be, that they're going to build some sort of mechanical man in the image of the Antichrist and let him give speeches day and night of the Antichrist recorded speeches. And the computerized will just pick up the sound, you just record it and play it through, and the computer, every time the ear of the computer hears buh, buh, it'll just pull the muscles, signal the tape, to pull the right levers, and the man goes buh, and will bring the lips up and the teeth together, and it'll be an imitation of the Antichrist walking around speaking in propaganda speeches. Now that's a guess. Maybe it's right, maybe it's not, but something will happen that will amaze the world. Certainly would be a good propaganda device. Finally, the last thing, the numbering of the beast. He causes both small and great, verse 16, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 60, and 666. What did the Holy Spirit do when he came? He marks those that are Christ. He seals us. When you believe in Jesus as the Savior from your sin, the Holy Ghost puts a mark on you. He seals you. You're sealed to Jesus. That means Jesus owns you, and Jesus knows you. But you see, we can't see the seal, but God sees it. We see the fruit of a life, and a Christian testimony, and a Christian life, and we say the man's a Christian, he has the seal. But we can't see the mark, it's invisible. But God sees the mark. The false Holy Spirit wants to do the same thing. He marks his people, only he does it visually. Now, there's a move today by some that everybody... Now, you know, I'm 1-888-28-9670. And in the Army, they changed my Army number to 1-888-28-9670, my Social Security number. And each of you has a number. In Germany right now, it's a 12-digit number. In America, it's a 9-digit number. Europe wants to change over so that everybody has a number. Some would like to see a number put on every child by tattoo. Now, if righteous people used it, it could be good. But the problem is, just like a gun, the wicked use it, it'll be evil. But you know, if your child was lost, they'd just read his number. And they just type it into Washington, Lost Children Division. You put 284M, that'd be Lost Children. And you'd say 267-93-211-19. And write it back, the read back would come back from Washington, the child of John Jones who lives at 1213 Mount Pleasant Avenue, Horsham. And there you'd have it. You know him right away, and the police could either wait, say, Mrs. Jones, come here, and then Mrs. Jones comes. They could say, well, let's read your number, Mrs. Jones, to make sure you're the mother of this boy. Let's see, Mrs. Jones, what's your number? 386-94-8767. They'd push the button, go into Washington, the feedback, that's Mrs. Jones. All right, here's your boy. Wouldn't that be swell? Well, swell, unless a monster gets it like Hitler, numbering prisoners. But you know, there are ways now you can be numbered, and it doesn't have to disfigure you. But this is coming, but thanks be to God, in Revelation 19, Jesus at Armageddon slays the Antichrist. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that You've given us this great chapter with the challenge, he that has an ear, let him hear. And Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we are starting, it seems, to understand things that have been hidden from centuries because of modern technology. And Heavenly Father, maybe the rapture is near and the Antichrist will be revealed. And we pray that each person here tonight might be in Christ, that they might be spared the awful time when the Antichrist persecutes those turning to Jesus and is killing them off. And we look forward to the coming of Jesus, and we pray it in His name. Amen.